Did you know that God has a will for your life? God has a will for your life. You may have your own will, and the devil has a will for your life. The Bible says the devil has come but to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give life and life in its abundance. So are you in the will of God? What is the will of God? God's desired plan for all your decisions and events in your life. First thing to say is God's plan is a good plan. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I want you to, from the outset, realize that God's plan for you is a good one. God is Father and a loving Father. A loving Father wants the best for you. He doesn't want to fight you. He wants the best for you. And even when you mess up, Damien, he'll pick you up again. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's not a dictator ready to knock you on the head every time you mess up. We may have had natural fathers like that, but the God that we serve has a loving heart. He has your best interests at heart. And even when you mess up, he may discipline you. Sometimes you're disciplined, chastised, but it's done in love. And it's always done for your benefit. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him? You know, God is mentioned as Father 65 times in the Gospel of Matthew and 100 times in John. You need to know that God is not a dictator. He is there for you. So how do we know the will of God for our lives? Well, the first thing is through the revealed Word of God. Remember, we've said this so many times because the enemy wants to keep you away from this. Do you know that? God's will for your life is revealed in Scripture. So the devil wants to keep you away. There's a song at the moment talking about dust being on the Bibles. And it's so true in so many households today that the Bible could just remain there. But we know that unless we read it, how are we going to know what God's will is? In the Bible, it tells us how to live. A lifestyle. It shows us his promises. It shows us what he'd want us to do, to remain in his goodness, in his protection. So what does the devil try to do? Distract us. Every time tells you, you think to yourself, I'm going to ring the Bible, something comes about, doesn't it? Distracts you. Oh, then you turn to your phone, don't you? Or you start thinking about what's on television. Or you start thinking about, what am I eating tonight? But the devil knows that if he can keep you away from this book, then you're not going to know what God's will is for your life. Everything you need to know in life, whether it's a relationship, the types of jobs that you can do, the types of relationships when it comes to marriage, What he wants us to say with our tongue. Is it going to bring life? Is it going to bring death? It will guide us. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may know and approve what the will of God is, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So the first thing to do, we need to transform our minds. See, when we came into the faith, we'd already had a mindset of what it used to be like to live outside of God. We followed the patterns of the world, the godless society that doesn't recognize God. So when we come into faith, the first thing to do is to begin to start thinking as God would want us to think. Put on the mind of Christ. Let your thoughts be godly. So therefore, then God can speak to you. Those thoughts that you place within your mind and into your spirit, God can then bring them up. And it tells us that you can then enter into the perfect will of God, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. That is the perfect goal. That goal is pleasing, it's good, and it's perfect. Just imagine a bullseye. You've got an arrow and you're heading for the bullseye. That's the perfect will. Now, do we always get it right? No, because we're human. But you know what? As long as you're trying to go forward, as long as you're trying to please the Lord and work out what God wants you to do, God can move you. Just picture like a motorway, a four-lane motorway. If we're serving the Lord, we want to follow Jesus, we're going north. If you decide to go back into the world and follow Satan, then you go back south. But when you're going north, you could be in one lane and say you're not in the perfect will. Well, God can move you over to the next lane. You see, you might be asking for a job from the Lord, and he may give you a job in High Wycombe, and then you, through your own understanding, you think, okay, the one in London is a bit better. Okay, so you've missed the mark. But is it really bad that you've got a job elsewhere? It's not perfect. But at least you're trying to honor God with your work. You're holding on to that scripture that says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And you want to supply every need. But then you carry on doing that job and you think, I've got no peace here. Am I really in the will of God? Well, if you're continuing to seek and say, Lord, is this my perfect will? Well, he can guide you. That works with jobs. It's not going to work with relationships. If you decide to marry somebody, you can't say, okay, well, I thought that was God's will, and no, not anymore. I'm going to go and find somebody else. And then you change lanes. It doesn't work, does it? Because some principles, some covenants are there and they're established. So those of you that want to get married, you have to make sure that you're in the will of God. That person is for life. Amen? Yeah. There's only two types of people when it comes to relationships, coming back to the word. Those that are married, they become one. And those that are outside of marriage, the word tells us you have to remain single until the time that God brings the right person in our lives. Sometimes we have to wait in the will of God. You see, it's not just knowing what the will of God is, it's also knowing the time of God's will. Because you can get the right thing to do, but if it's not the right time, you can miss it. That's what Moses did. He was called of God to deliver the Israelites. But he didn't realize that he had to spend 40 years in Arabia to develop, for his character to be developed, and to enter into God's plan to deliver the Israelites. What God placed on his heart to be a deliverer, he ended up going up to a couple of Egyptians that were fighting a Hebrew, and he got involved and said, oh no, I'm delivering him. He got involved and then he realized, actually, no one recognizes me. Because if you're not in the perfect will of God, things don't fit into place. Does that make sense? Timing as much as doing the will of God. So the word of God is so important, because you could end up being a doer of the word and not hearers of the word. And the Bible says that we end up deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a person who looks intently at his face in the mirror and then goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like. James 1, 22, 24. That's another trick of the devil. He keeps you away from the Bible, but if you manage to get here and listen to the word of God, what he wants you to do, as soon as you leave there, forget about what you were listening to. But as a suggestion, is it worth taking notes? Is it worth listening? Are we still recording the messages? Is go over the message and say, well, God, are you speaking to me in that message? Because sometimes you don't always receive it while you're sitting here. If you go over the message, you may be able to hear it again. So the Bible's saying to apply it. No point knowing about it unless you apply it in your lives. What's the second thing that we do to know the will of God for our lives? It's through prayer and meditation. Satan wants to keep you away from prayer. Is that another thing? Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you know the right thing to do is to pray. But how many of us really rush in to pray? Come on, we struggle sometimes. Don't you look at me as if that happens to you. It happens. We get distracted. We pick up our phones before we go and seek the Lord. Sometimes we have to push through. We have to break through until you experience the power and presence of God in prayer. Those of you that perhaps may be struggling, I will show you a formula in a minute that may help your prayer time, but also to spend time after seeking. After praying is to sit back and say, Lord, have you got something to tell me? Lay back, distractions away, and let him speak to your heart. Maybe a scripture may come to you, and then he can direct you into the will of God. A prayer formula that has helped me over the years is called the Acts Prayer. It begins with A, adoration. Begin to adore Lord. Tell him how good he is, how wonderful he is, and just his holiness, his sovereignty, his protection over you. And then as you do that, you can go in into confession, because we've all got something to confess. We all do things during the day that perhaps you know you've missed the mark, so you can just confess it. I've messed up there. I didn't pray. I spoke to that person in the wrong way. I confess this. Whatever he places on your heart, because sin separates you from God. So God wants to just tell you what separates you. You confess it, then it restores that relationship. And then we go from confession into thanksgiving. We enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Begin to thank him for what he is doing in your life. And as we mentioned this morning, begin to thank him of what you believe he's going to do in your life. It can be prophetic. I thank you, Lord, that you will give me that job I'm looking for. I thank you, Lord, that you will work out that relationship that you've placed in my heart. I thank you, Lord, that you will come through in my finances. I might be in my overdraft at the moment, but I thank you that you will supply every need. What happens then? Your focus goes on him instead of our own selves. Amen? And the last part of the prayer is supplication. At that point, you can start asking him for things, because you've put him first. You've dealt with the sin. Then you can say, Lord, can you perhaps pray for my uncle that's in hospital? Pray for my sister going through this. That is one way that's helped me over the years. So to be in the will of God is to read the word of God. Stand on the promises of God. Whatever you're going through, there are promises in there. And then you pray it through. That brings me on to the third point, is how do I know I'm in the will of God? It's through godly counsel. It says in Proverbs 15:22, by the lack of counsel, plans are shattered, but with the multitude of advisors, a plan will stand. Who you spend time with can develop you and allow you to enter into the will of God. Say you've got a financial difficulty. Why don't you take advice over those that have succeeded in finance? Those that are ahead of you spiritually, if you have a spiritual need, how about going up to them and saying, look, I'm struggling with this. You give me some advice on how to go forward. How did you deal with that problem? Yeah, you want to spend time with people that are walking in the light, that are following Jesus. Whereas the opposite, you can spend time with people that aren't following Jesus, that are not interested in doing the things of God. And how are they going to enable you to enter the will of God? Well, they're not. They're just going to send you back, and you're not going to be able to push in. Proverbs 27:17, similar verse. Iron sharpens iron, and a person sharpens his friend. That talks about a metal coming together. Sometimes we, as friends, we have to confront one another, encourage one another, challenge one another. If there's something in our lives that perhaps you don't see, but you see it in your brother and sister, providing it's done in love, you can come alongside and challenge that person if you believe the Lord is getting you to do that. Because that will bring you closer into the will of God. See, if you do everything on your own, and you miss that communication with God, you can miss out. But there's other people that God will use. You know, God speaks through other people, doesn't he? God speaks through our pastor, he speaks through those in leadership here, and he even speaks through you. You wouldn't know it. You just got to discern the voice. You know, it says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, in John 10:27. So how do we know also when we're walking in the will of God? Is if we are walking by faith. If where you are doesn't require faith, then you are not in the will of God. If where you are going doesn't require faith, you are not going towards the will of God. In every season, it will require that you trust in God. There will be something in your life that requires you to put your trust in him. There will be something in your life that requires you to say, I don't understand it, I don't know it, I'm going through it, but I trust and I believe I'm going to step out on your word. That is the perfect will of God. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without trust it is impossible to please God, for whosoever comes to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Do you really trust God in your life? Are you trusting him for anything at the moment? Because without faith it's impossible to please God, and whatever is not of faith, the Bible says it is sin. Are you trusting the Lord to get you to Wickham rather than stale in Aysbury? Are you trusting the Lord to get you a better flat? Are you trusting the Lord to bring that relationship into your life that he's placed on your heart? Are you trusting the Lord to reveal something to you? Whatever sickness you have, whatever disease you have, are you trusting the Lord and standing on his promises that he will come through? Or if he doesn't, are you willing to listen to him? Because some things you have to have faith for. Not everything is done instantaneously. There's times where you have to wait. But you wait in faith, knowing that God is for you and he's with you. He wants the best for you. Amen? Let me speak to you about the word of God and the promises. In Proverbs 9, talks about wisdom. Wisdom has built her house, and she has carved it in 7 columns, and she's prepared a great banquet mixed with wines and set the table. Wisdom is God's knowledge and understanding properly applied. Here it's talking about wisdom being such a strong tower, giving strength. If you find wisdom from the word and from the spirit, it will build your life. And it's prepared, it's like a banquet. You can sit there and you can indulge. You can have fellowship with the Lord and experience his delicacies. Wisdom is so important. It says in that same chapter in verse 10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. The fear of the Lord. Not talking about being scared of him. I'm talking about respecting him. If you honor him, put him first in your place, willing to obey what he's already revealed to you, then wisdom comes. You see, if we're serious about the things of God, he will be serious about us as well. God will reveal more to us as we respond to what he's already shown us. If we're not prepared to walk in obedience to what he's already shown us, why would he show you anything anymore? Why? You know that scripture that you don't give that which is holy to dogs? It's talking about giving the good things of the kingdom. If you don't value it, then it will be held back. Do you understand what I mean? So if we are being told by God to obey him, to listen, to pray, to study the word, and we're neglecting that, then you're just going to go around the same mountain over and over again, and he won't reveal too much more if you're not prepared to listen. If I did, to David, I said, look, can you just go and pick up my bag if you don't mind? And you say, nah, I'm not interested. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, am I? So it's with the Lord. If we obey him, if we're faithful in a little that he's shown us and given us, he will be faithful and give us more to do. Amen? See, the other thing about the will of God is about authority. God's will is that we obey authority. If we can't obey God, a man-made law, how can we obey God's law? If we're breaking the natural law in one way or the other, then we're not pleasing the Lord and we're not in his perfect will. There are times, the Bible talks about civil disobedience, which it may come to that, where, for examples, where the disciples were told in the book of Acts, you can't go and preach Jesus anymore. And then we'll turn around and say, I'd rather obey God than man. When Daniel was told that you can no longer pray in the name of your God, what did he decide to do? Did he decide to listen to authority? No, he held on to the greater authority, which is the authority of God. Amen? So you have to think about authority and how it works. Is it working in the interest of God, or is it working in the interest of society that is antichrist? Because we're coming to a time now where it may even come to it that we won't be even able to preach on the streets. Are we prepared to obey man or pray, obey God? If it means going to prison, who's joining me? No, that is something that we need to remind ourselves, because God tells us to obey those in authority, but if it goes against him. Exactly what happened in 2020 during COVID. Many people didn't go out on the streets preaching because they were told that they had to keep distance. But it didn't stop me. I still went out. Kept my distance, but I'd much rather please God than please man. Amen? So I want to ask you, are you prepared to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price to enter into the will of God? You see, to enter into the perfect will of God means sacrifice. It means going against the grain. It means setting aside the comforts. Sometimes having to fast and to pray and to seek God's face intently. Just think of our Lord. Before he went to the cross, he said, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In other words, you know what? I know I've got to go through the suffering. I know I've got to go through the pain. And he was thinking about it. And he was like, wow, is there another way? Because that's too hard on me. But put God's will first rather than his own. There's times in your life you're going to think, I don't really want to go to church. I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to do that. But you say at that point, just as Jesus did, not my will, but God's will be done. If you know you've been called into ministry, there's times that you're just like going to be discouraged. You're going to be wanting to do something else. But ultimately, it's about God's will in your life and what he's called you to. Are you ready to pay the price? Are you ready to give up the stuff that God's been speaking to you about for a long time now? Because to enter into God's perfect will, stuff has got to go. Yeah? Just think of the price that Jesus paid to go to that cross. And he paid. He took your place. And he's now enabled you, the moment that you surrender to Jesus and you receive him into your life, the Bible says you are now seated into heavenly places. And the same authority that was given to Jesus is given to you. So we could take authority over demonic powers. We could take authority over the things in the world that are trying to break us and to destroy, so we can enter into the will of God. Amen? Amen. God has got an army. This army is going forward. Amen? And it's going to go forward because we've got a plan and a purpose. That's the will of God. Just a reminder why we are here. The plan and purpose is to bring you into greater freedom and to enter into the purpose. Truly, when God made you, He made you for a purpose. Will, you've been made for a purpose. That's why you come under so much attack, yeah? You see, sometimes, you know, the greater the gifting, the more of the attack over people's lives. But the devil's a liar. Choose this day who you want to serve. Just think about it. Even if you carry on serving and enjoying the pleasures of this world, serving Satan, where's that going to leave you? Because the wages of death is sin. Ultimately, you'll be destroyed. But the gift of God is life, abundant life. And as we press into the Lord, He can fill us with the fruit of the Spirit. How would you like to have more joy in your life? More peace and more love? Come on, we all need that. That's what this world needs. This world needs more love, doesn't it? And joy. It's so important to get that joy, because the joy is your strength. That's what's going to get you through your work day. That's what is going to get you through those days where you're feeling down, depressed. But the joy will be your strength. Amen? Okay. I'm just going to ask if there's anybody that wants prayer for anything. We're going to pray for you. Whatever you're going through, if God has spoken to you, we're going to pray for you, yeah? So just feel free to come up. If I can ask Janet to come up and to play the last song.